It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Does age matter in this year's presidential election? The frontrunners in each party, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, are 77 and 81 years old, respectively. Either would be the oldest serving president ever by the end of a four-year term. Since the special counsel report on President Biden's handling of classified documents earlier this month, the current president's age and memory have been in the headlines. Both parties are running excerpts of speeches by the opposing candidate claiming they show signs of decline. And Republican Nikki Haley's campaign has described both of them as grumpy old men. We're taking a look at age as a campaign issue and how we talk about age as a campaign issue. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you concerned about Biden's age, Trump's age, both or neither? Would you like to see younger presidential candidates or different candidates altogether? And hey, if you're over, say, 70-ish, are you offended by some of these arguments we're having about age? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Allison Prash is an associate professor in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where she researches U.S. presidential rhetoric, politics, and culture. Allison, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I can think of one time in my lifetime where it seemed like age was kind of a concern in a presidential race. What kind of precedent do we have for talking about the age of the president?
Well, you know, I think historically in our most recent memory, we could look at the campaign of Ronald Reagan in 1984. There were concerns that were raised about his age, but also Reagan famously would quip that he wasn't going to make his opponent's youth and inexperience a key part of his campaign strategy or a concern. And so I think, you know, with Biden and Trump, as you noted in your introduction, both individuals would be the oldest serving president in U.S. history. So I'd also think it reflects not just a concern about age, but also fitness for office and the ability to do the job.
The media has certainly been talking about this as an issue. What do we know, to the extent that we pull on these things, what do we know about what voters are thinking about this?
Well, so we know a couple things. Number one, you may remember the New York Times Siena College poll that was taken last November, December, and they found that 73% of individuals polled in six of the key swing states, Wisconsin included, were very concerned about Biden's age. They said he was too old to be president. That was a lower number for Trump, for example. But more broadly, when you look at the electorate and what they say about what they expect, not just in presidents, but in individuals who are serving in Washington as politicians, there was a recent Pew survey that talked about that 82% of Republicans and 79% of Democrats support an age limit. So this is a concern that extends beyond the chief executive and also to members of Congress.
This is kind of a touchy subject. There are people in this age range listening right now, I am sure, who might think, well, I could, you know, do jobs just as well as I used to. Can you talk a little bit about how we could talk about this issue without casting aspersions on a large and growing cohort of Americans?
Yeah, I think it's a really important thing to discuss because I would argue that when we bring up the issue of age or the factor of age, it's not necessarily just a number. We're not just talking about being 81 or being 77, but it really is a conversation about the ability to do the job. And I think first and foremost, it's important to remember that we're talking about the president of the United States, the most powerful job in the world. And I mean that in a sense that, you know, this is the individual whose decisions can have impact on countless lives, right? Nuclear codes, et cetera. So I think, first of all, we need to consider the fact that we're talking about the job or the role of the president. I think, number two, we need to recognize that it's a conversation about not just fitness, but also what we perceive of the presidency. So the presidency is not just about the decisions that are made, but also the image that is projected. And so I think some of the concern or discussions around this issue is less about whether Biden is 81, for example, or is he able to do the job? What are some of the concerns that people are seeing with various slips that he has made? And also more broadly, what does it project about the image of the presidency that we've come to expect?
In some ways, I feel like we're turning into amateur gerontologists here where, you know, Republicans might run a video. Here's Biden confusing the presidents of Mexico and Egypt. Democrats run a video, and Nikki Haley does too, of Donald Trump confusing Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi. You can make a case that if you went back and got Biden and Trump videos from 20, 40 years ago, they both say unusual things in unusual ways sometimes. How can we, watching them in their, when we encounter them, when they're speaking, how are we making these judgments?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a really interesting op-ed in the New York Times a few weeks ago that was talking about how we can understand the decisions that we all make. I've done this in class in front of my students of mixed up speakers, right? It's something that happens to all of us in particular ways. I think the important thing to note, perhaps, is that it's not just about age and it's not just about capacity or fitness for office, but it also, I think, is reflecting a deeper angst among a wide majority of the electorate, regardless of political party, that they don't see themselves reflected in these two candidates. So, for example, this concern about whether someone who is 81 or 77 is as concerned about the issue of climate change or reproductive justice, for example, as the students that sit in my class every Tuesday and Thursday. And so it's this concern that, does this individual really fully understand and appreciate the concerns that are facing me in my individual lives and experiences and what that means for the rest of my life?
Talking to Allison Prash from UW-Madison's Communication Arts Department, talking about age, mental ability, and passing the torch in politics with old candidates, older candidates for president here in the United States, pretty old Congress as well. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you thinking about age as an issue? How are you thinking about age as an issue in politics? Join in at 800-642-1234. I want to pick up that generational point you mentioned, Allison, and you actually suggested a clip here that we're going to listen to from the musical Hamilton, the song One Last Time. We've got George Washington, played by Christopher Jackson, talking to Alexander Hamilton, played by Lin-Manuel Miranda, to help him write his farewell address.
Mr. President, they will say you're weak.
No, they will see we're strong.
Your position is so unique.
So I'll use it to move them along.
Why do you have to say goodbye?
If I say goodbye, the nation learns to move on. It outlives me when I'm gone.
Not specifically about age there, but about that idea of deciding when it's time to be done and let a new generation take over. How does that fit into how you're looking at the 2024 election?
Well, I think it's important to note, first of all, that when Washington made the decision to move on, to cede his political power, this was not a constitutionally mandated thing that he needed to do. It's not until 1951, for example, that it is actually enshrined in the Constitution that there are just two terms. And it, in fact, is a precedent that every president follows until FDR. And so Washington's decision to step aside for the larger good of the country is seen by various individuals in both political parties at the time as this really radical act of embodying the spirit of democracy. I think it's also interesting to note, historian Ron Chernow talks about in his biography of Washington, that this decision elevates Washington's moral standard around the world, and it even is praised by King George. Yes, that King George. And so I think it's a testament to how Washington saw himself as a custodian of the institution of the presidency, and then was ready to pass that on, that it was not his to own. And I think that's a really fundamental thing to keep in mind as we think about today.
So when people are talking about age and mental capacity, they may be thinking about those things in particular, but could they also be seeing, it seems like you're saying this as a proxy for, hey, maybe we're ready for these politicians to move on?
Yes. And in fact, some of the angst that you hear expressed, I think, most prominently within Democrats who are concerned about Biden, for example, is they will say, hey, in 2020, he ran and he promised that he was going to be this transitional candidate, that he was going to provide a bridge to help us get out of Trump, COVID, et cetera. And now the concern for them is saying, well, what about a new generation of leadership and this idea that perhaps Biden, you know, can hold on to the presidency because it's his? Now, you can make a similar argument about Trump, you know, because there are various Republicans who are really frustrated with that he has become the brand of conservatism. That's what one of Haley's challenges to him, right? But there are also Republicans who really like that brand. And so I think it goes on both sides.
And is there a general frustration, do you think, with the whole Biden-Trump rematch concept in the first place? It seems like a lot of people are a little unexcited by that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think you could say people were excited in 2020 about that matchup. And so in 2024, we are dealing with the same old, quite literally. And so there's this concern amongst people. They're not necessarily apathetic. It's not that they don't care. But at least from the people that I've talked to and the polling data I've read, it's a general dissatisfaction that these are our two best options. And how is that the case in this current moment?
You also pointed us toward an interesting point that We had President Trump as a candidate saying, only I can save you. Only I can fix the country. We have President Biden saying, in effect, I think, only I can save us from Donald Trump. That's a different vision, the individual vision of a president versus maybe what we should be thinking of as a president.
It is. And, you know, I think it's an interesting point that I think we should all consider of thinking about if Biden's true argument is to say that Donald Trump, in his belief, is such a threat to American democracy and that only I can save you or I'm the best person and best equipped to run to defeat him. That also tells us something about ourselves of why is that the case. Now, I think Biden was the right candidate for Democrats in 2020 for a number or a host of reasons, and that's what they decided, right? But in both instances, both individuals, I think, are in some way clinging to their hold on their party, whether for Trump it's this belief that I am the Republican Party, or whether it's for Biden that I alone can save you from this threat on the outside. And I think that, you know, like Washington did, there could be a vision or a view of statespersonship, I should say, that says I want to develop this next generation of political leadership. We're not devoid of it, but it has been exclusive when you have these two individuals who so personify both sides of the political spectrum. And that's a problem as we think about going forward of who is that next generation of leadership going to be and how are they developed and cultivated and who is gatekeeping to a certain extent.
Allison Prash is with us, associate professor in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where she researches U.S. presidential rhetoric, politics, and culture. She's with us for a look at the current debate around the age of presidential candidates and why this might be more than just age we're talking about. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from our younger and older listeners in particular. If you are a younger voter, you can define younger however you want. Are you frustrated by a lock on these leadership positions of a couple few generations ahead of you? If you're an older voter, are you frustrated with how we're talking about these older candidates? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with UW-Madison professor Allison Prash about what's at stake when it comes to the age of presidential candidates and other elected officials. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Terry is with us in Manawa. Terry, hi.
Hi. Last election cycle, Trump said Biden was too old to run at that time. Now Trump is that age. What changed?
Allison, what do you think?
That's a great question. Well, I mean, I think you have to consider two things. First of all, Trump isn't necessarily always aware of the things that he's previously said and holding himself to that standard. So I think part of it may be, you know, not having that hindsight and also wanting to portray his opponent in particular ways. You know, I'll also say in answer to your question, I think one of the things that is different this time around is that the public has had 4 years to watch Biden age every day on our television screens and on our phones. We see that various elements of decline, quite frankly, as he has changed over the last 4 years. We don't have that up close and personal view of Trump on a daily basis. We see him in court defending himself in various, legal issues, but we've seen Biden slowly decline in particular ways. And so I think that public perception of age for Biden has shifted the tone in a bit.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Daryl is with us in Menominee Falls. Daryl, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to, there was just a discussion or a point brought up about the two gatekeepers, which would be the best gatekeeper for the two parties. And no matter the age of Joe Biden, he has far more experience and knowledge about how the country works, how politics works. And Donald Trump is not for this country. He represents all his own interests, and he would be the worst gatekeeper for the next generation of politicians. If he's the example of the Republican Party, my gosh, that party's in trouble.
Daryl, thanks a lot for the call. Faced with a choice between two older candidates, people will find ways to choose between them, Allison.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, your comment gets to the fact that we're talking about age, and it's not just about ability, but it's also about competence or judgment or experience. And this idea that one of the benefits of having, you know, longer time in public office and public life is being able to make those hard choices and those judgments. And so I think that's something to definitely keep in mind.
Thanks for that call. Joy joins us now from West Bend. Joy, hello.
Hi. I am an older voter, but progressive. And I've heard from people for my whole life that the pendulum swings back and forth. You know, we're going to get a progressive candidate sometime. But as far as I'm concerned, we haven't. I will vote for Joe, but I do see him as looking unsteady when he walks. You know, his hair is thin. He doesn't seem so presentable. Neither does Trump. I would like to see a more progressive candidate. Joe Biden is a corporate Democrat. He's in the good old boys club. He may have more experience, but as far as I'm concerned, he's not pushing for the progressive issues as Bernie, for instance. Bernie is older. I would vote for him because he has more energy and more experience to, you know, communicate the
progressive. Joy, thanks a lot for the call. Allison, what do you think of what you hear from Joy there?
Well, Joy, I think one of the things that you're articulating is a concern about particular issues or values key identity markers of particular groups of people. And those transcend age, right? There are concerns, as you noted, particular progressive issues. That's not just a concern of someone's age, but also, younger voters, older voters, et cetera. And so I think faced with this choice that we have in 2024, I think that's what voters are going to need to do is kind of make some calculated decisions of, okay, we have these two candidates. They are these more advanced ages. And so then what can I benefit or why do I support their policies in particular ways?
Thanks for the call, Joy. Talking to Allison Prash, UW-Madison Communication Arts Professor, looking at age and perception of age in the presidential race this year. Jim joins us now in Juneau. Jim, hello.
I didn't take this. Hold on.
Yes. Hello.
Go ahead, Jim. You're on the air.
So, I'm kind of disillusioned with our our parties at this point. I mean, we're not being given any real choices anymore. You got Biden, who obviously has age-related issues. His mental capacity is slipping as far as his ability to communicate, and that worries me about where he's going with everything else. And as far as the Republican Party goes, I mean, what are they sending at us? A businessman. This is the leader of our country, and we're the last thing you want sitting in that seat is somebody whose mind has been geared towards making a profit for themselves.
Gotcha, Jim. Thanks a lot for the call. I don't know that. Certainly, in the 2016 election leading up to it, the Republican Party, the establishment, didn't want it to end up being Donald Trump. I don't know that Democrats were really enthusiastic about Joe Biden as the standard bearer this year. How much do political parties control their standard bearer in a presidential race anymore?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. You know, I think in the case of 2024, one of the factors is the fact that if you are the incumbent president, if you are the sitting president, you are the de facto leader of your political party. And so there was a lot of angst amongst Democrats, for example, that, you know, the Biden administration or people in Biden world, there were reports of, you know, really making sure that there wasn't an active primary challenger because Biden was going to run again. That's not unique to Biden, to be clear. I mean, this is the case regardless of political party when you are the incumbent president. But I understand that this caller's frustration on both sides, right, that it does seem like it's held or determined in particular ways that I think a lot of people are frustrated by.
Thanks for that call. I want to take a couple minutes to talk about, you have access to a group of voters, college students in particular. What kind of things are you hearing from them as they talk about Biden and Trump and age and generational cohorts?
It's a great question. And I have been talking with them about the 2024 election. For the last few semesters in 2020, I taught a class on the rhetoric of the presidential election. I'll be doing the same type of class this fall. And one of the things that has stuck out to me over the last year is that in general, the students that I interact with talk about that they feel very disillusioned and very dispassionate about not just both candidates, but how they understand their own political identity in relationship to the election. It's always helpful for me to think about that if my college students sitting in my classroom are 18 to 22, it means that their political memory is quite short, that they have been exposed to Biden, to Trump. Perhaps they remember Obama, perhaps. And so if you think about how you understand your political identity, and if you think about the last 8 years, it has been very partisan and very polarizing, and we live through a global pandemic. And so those are some of the questions that are in voters' minds, and they don't see a candidate who is articulating their concerns as much as they'd like to.
Would you, a little bit of time for a big question here. Would you like to see Biden and Trump both step out of this race, open the door to another generation? It won't happen, but
won't
open
happen.
The door to another generation.
It won't happen. And there are, you know, clear logistical hurdles. If I could go back a year and a half ago, absolutely. I think that it would be a meaningful demonstration on both sides of what it might look like to uphold the institution of the presidency as something that is rooted in the Constitution that extends beyond one individual. I think that it's really important that one of the things that George Washington does in his farewell address is he embodies this idea of a transition of power. That is one of the things that distinguishes our Constitution and our system of government. It's something that we should prize. And so I think that there's no better way to support that and embody that than to be willing to cede power to recognize what needs to come after you for the health and good of the nation.
Allison, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allison Prash is an associate professor in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where she researches U.S. presidential rhetoric, politics, and culture. Been talking about the recent public debates around aging and the presidency, as both of this year's presidential frontrunners have faced questions about their age during the campaign. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.